CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year, and a special Happy New Year to all the Ohio State fans out there. I'm Danny Cunningham, Daryl Ryder, and with me, taking up until 10 o'clock in for Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, as those guys are enjoying their first day off, or second day off, I guess, of 2025. And what we saw yesterday out in Pasadena was one of the more impressive performances, maybe the most impressive performance we've seen from any team this entire college football season. It brings up, I think, a lot of questions as to why that hasn't always been the case with this Ohio State team, why that version of them doesn't make an appearance more than seemingly once a year, because I do think that you can look at that Tennessee game that they played, you can look at yesterday's game that they played, and yesterday's game was on, I think, even a different level than the Tennessee game. But that was a team that, without question, is capable of winning the national championship on January 20th or whatever day that game is going to be played. That hasn't been the same Ohio State team that we've seen all year, but that was, Daryl, I think, one of the more impressive games I've seen. Certainly the first half, I think that they kind of took their foot off the gas after halftime because they didn't need to have their foot all the way down. But that was one of the more impressive college football performances I've seen from a team, I think, in a long, long time.
Well, they did the same thing against Tennessee, ran out.
But I even think this was more than that.
No, I understand that. But they ran out to 21-0 against Tennessee, and it felt like they also took the foot off the gas a little bit in that game.
Right.
They did the same thing last night, and it's fine. It was impressive, and it is always fun to watch Ohio State curb stomp the Ducks in a playoff. Remember, a couple years ago, back in 2015, the national championship game, Buckeyes rolled Oregon, I think 42-20, something like that. Similar result last night, 41-21 at the Rose Bowl. That was impressive. And you know what? It just makes the loss to Michigan all the worse for me.
So are you more frustrated then? You're more frustrated
I'm
about
angered.
What happened last
yes.
night as opposed to happy?
That's... No. I'm thrilled with what happened last night, but I'm still...
I'm
even more infuriated that they lost to Michigan, because this is the potential for this team. Like, you're 100% right. They are legitimate national championship contenders.
Favorites.
They were before they lost to Michigan, and then once they lost to Michigan, I'm like, well, I guess this is, you know, not going to go well. But to Ryan Day's credit, to Chip Kelly's credit, and the rest of that coaching staff down in Columbus, they got it together for the college football playoff. And I do think that we are going to see an evolution in college football fandom. The Michigan game doesn't, other than just like the bitter rivalry, right? The game is inconsequential. Like, that loss did not cost Ohio State their season. It did not.
It did not torpedo their season.
They could very well win the national championship without winning the. It's just, it's weird, you know. And I get it. Super Bowl winners, you know, happen without winning their division. You get, you know, just get in by the wild card and all that. But I don't know. I'm kind of old school. Like, it for me, it's a progression. You win your division, you win your conference or your league, and then you win the championship. You check the boxes as you go down the line, but in modern sports, you don't do that anymore. It's just get in the tournament and see what happens. And I think the worst thing to happen for the rest of this field is the fact that the Buckeyes, in fact, did get in the tournament. I haven't looked at the lines. I gotta think that they're a favorite over Texas.
They are. I bet on them last night at 6.5-point favorites over Texas.
Yeah, that's easy money.
Which I was surprised that the line was as low as it was against Oregon. Like, and I get Oregon's a really good team. They didn't have a really good day yesterday. I do think that was part of it. I think Ohio State is better than Oregon. I don't think they were as much better as they showed in the first half. Like, if that game is played 10 times, it doesn't look like that all 10 times, obviously.
I don't know about that.
I do, because we saw it already.
Well, but that was in Eugene.
But no matter where that game is played, I think that first half was a bit of an anomaly. I think that just kind of speaks to how well Ohio State is playing right now, and Oregon didn't have a good day. Like, that is certainly part of it. I think Ohio State, if those two teams play 10 times, Ohio State wins that game more than they lose that game.
How do you not have a good day in the college football playoff? Like, that's
well, I do think that's
the most
an interesting conversation
thing to me.
I think that's an interesting conversation because none of the teams that had byes have looked good. And I get that two of the other teams that had byes, like Oregon, deserved to be the number one overall seed. They went 13-0. Their resume was unimpeachable. Like, you could not say a team other than them deserved to have the number one seed. And then it gets into the conversation, and maybe we'll find out a little bit more today with Georgia Notre Dame. But I think that even feels a little bit different because of what happened yesterday down in New Orleans with that game being postponed. But the other two teams that had byes, Arizona State and Boise State, you know, there were arguments to be made that, okay, maybe there should not be the automatic byes for conference champions because those two teams very clearly did not look like they belonged. Like, Boise State didn't look like they belonged with a Penn State team that, Daryl, I don't know how you feel about them, I don't think is a serious national championship contender, and they're in a Final Four because of the route that they've gotten, despite not doing anything to deserve that.
Oh, they got
during
the
regular season.
They literally got the rose petal path to the semifinals.
Yes. That is ridiculous.
After getting their boots handed to them by the Buckeyes earlier this year, too. Like, I mean, I just, this needs tweaked. I think that's what we're learning as this college football playoff here progresses. They need to do two on-campus games. The Rose Bowl last night, that should have been a conference semifinal. The bye thing should... I don't
know that they're going to get to that because I think that that's going to... They're going to have to expand to get to that because they're going to want all of the New Year's Six bowl games to be part of it. And if you have only, you know, two semifinals as bowl games and then the national championship game, you're not going... The New Year's Six games are going to disappear. And that's not going to be a thing that happens because money. Money matters too much in that. You're not going to have years where you don't play the Sugar Bowl as a meaningful bowl game, where you don't have the Fiesta Bowl. Like, that's not going to happen. That can't change.
Well, that's
why
when they came up with the BCS years ago...
But bowl games still matter.
They included the... What's the term I'm looking for? Those...
major
premier
bowl.
The premier bowls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the Sugar, the Fiesta, Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl at first was hesitant to get in on it because they wanted to maintain the tradition of Big Ten, Pac-10. Then they got hip to the times quickly and saw the money that they were about to miss out on. I think Cotton Bowl was in there for a while.
Yep.
But I do feel like this formula that they've come up with and how they go about it does need to be tweaked because you're right. The games were not entertaining.
Right.
I mean,
we can't say that, and we'll talk about them coming up in a little bit, but Texas-Arizona State was incredibly entertaining, but I felt like that had more to do with Texas deciding not to put the game away as opposed to the game actually being good. And I don't want to take away credit from Arizona State, but I also have to be real with what I actually saw on the field yesterday. Texas was a much better team. They just decided, we're going to screw around here.
There was a point they had as many touchdowns as offensive plays.
Right. And when that happens... You would think that the game is no longer in doubt.
Yeah.
But they struggled putting Arizona State away. And listen, does Arizona State deserve some credit? Absolutely. But that was, I thought, more on Texas not finishing the job that they were supposed to finish soon enough.
But yeah, I fully expect that the Buckeyes are going to take it to Texas. They will play for the national championship. That will ultimately save Ryan Day's job. I think his job...
You don't think his job is saved now?
No, I think it's been saved.
Okay.
I do think it's been saved. Do I think it should be saved? Probably not, but that's just me. For me, it's you got to get to the national championship. Because, again, like this, what we saw last night was the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is why so many Ohio State fans are in the position that you are in, where yes, you're happy about last night's game, but you're frustrated about what the journey has been.
Right, I can take the loss to Oregon because at the time, that's a top five matchup
on the road,
West Coast. Yeah,
lost by a point. Like there was no shame in that loss.
Well, there's a little shame because, you know,
Dan Lanning cheated the system.
The rule book
good coaching.
Got, yeah, the rule book got used a little bit there, and you got caught not really fully understanding some things. But I can take the Oregon loss earlier this year, but losing to Michigan at home, you can't do that when you're a national championship team. But I do think the Buckeyes can win this whole thing.
I do too, and this is the first time where I believe they're going to win the national championship. I've always felt that they've
Confident. It's fait accompli. They're going to win.
I do feel that way. I think that they're the best team in America. I think they've always been that.
Well,
but
it's
I've
only
never
fitting.
Had, when I've they never went had to confidence the... that they would get there because you brought up that Penn State game where and you made a comment that you know Ohio State kicked their butts. They kind of did, but they didn't look like a national championship team.
Yeah,
in
that's
that
fair.
Game. Michigan, obviously, they didn't look like that. Nebraska, they didn't look like that. Really, the only time, there were two times all year where Ohio State, to me, Daryl, looked like a team capable of winning the national championship. It was the loss to Oregon and beating Indiana, who also wasn't very good. Like, those were the only two instances.
I think Indiana got overrated this year.
I do, too, but Ohio State did what Ohio State was supposed to do in that instance because... Did Indiana become overrated? Absolutely. But you know what Ohio State could have done? They could have screwed around with them the same way they did Nebraska a couple weeks before.
That's fair. They didn't.
Like, that's what I'm not saying Indiana's some great team. They're not.
The reason they didn't mess around with them is because Indiana ran their mouths. That's why. And then the Bucks are like, let us show you what big boy football really looks like, boys and girls from the cornfields of Indiana. This is how it's done. And then they went out and did it. That's why they were motivated, I think, to show the Hoosiers.
But why doesn't that come out more? Why is that something?
I don't know.
I'm not saying you do know, but that is the thing that I can't wrap my head around is why can Ohio State look so good?
Why did
yesterday?
They lay an egg against Michigan? I don't know.
Because Ryan Day is scared of Mason Blue. Like that's the only answer there.
There's no more Mason Blue in the field, right? There's some blue and gold, but there's no maize and blue.
Yeah, they're different shades of gold.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Okay. I get a little nervous there for a second because you're right. He sees that and just like totally forgets that Jeremiah Smith is on his team. By the way, that kid, holy smokes.
He could play in the NFL
today.
Saturday.
Yeah.
When the Browns play the Ravens, he could play in the NFL.
And he'd be the best receiver on the field possibly.
I don't know that I've ever felt that way about an 18-year-old, or maybe he's 19 at this point. I don't know when his birthday is, but like a freshman in college, I've never felt that way about somebody at that age.
He has to stay two more years.
He has to play college football for two more years, which is I have always been on the side of the 3-year rule is good. Guys should have to stay in college. Part of me wishes it were like that a little bit more for basketball, maybe 2 years in that sport.
It's a physical development thing.
That's why.
Collectively bargained because you don't want 19-year-old kids
because
going up against a 32-year-old linebacker. That bad, just nothing good is going to come from that. You want to make sure that the body is fully developed before these guys get into the NFL. But that was a lot of fun to watch. Good for the Buckeyes. Happy for them. I just still shake my head over what happened against Michigan.
What will it need to take for you to get over what happened against Michigan? Would winning the national championship do that? Or is it a thing because I know, and I'm not saying that this is you, but I know that there are Ohio State fans that it's not going to be good enough until they go out and beat Michigan. And that obviously can't happen until the Saturday after Thanksgiving next year. But I do think that there are a lot of people that still feel that way. Despite the absolute beating they put on Oregon.
Buckeyes won the BCS. Buckeyes ended up winning the first four-team college football playoff. And now they could potentially win the first expanded college football playoff. That's pretty good.
But they didn't do those two things without beating Michigan the same year. And this is now...
That's fair.
I mean, they were a missed field goal away from winning a national championship
in
another year where they didn't beat Michigan.
They win the national championship. I will have Michigan amnesia up until the Buckeyes play Michigan next year in Ann Arbor.
Okay, that's fair.
Then I'm going to remember that,
Ryan Day
has lost three straight
of Michigan.
Yeah.
So. Okay, that's fair. Four straight, isn't it?
I've lost count.
It's four straight.
I have amnesia right now.
Yeah, they've not won since 2019 against Michigan. It's been a really long time.
No, that actually, Michigan backed out of the one because they all had COVID. And they knew they were going to get killed.
But
and
you know what happened?
That's what turned the tide in the series. I've ever
heard yeah, it was a very long cough. But you know what didn't happen that year? Ohio State did not beat them because they didn't play. So it's been a long time since that happened. But maybe a national championship would erase that. Maybe for some people it wouldn't. I don't know.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Ohio State looked like the most impressive college football team left in a 41-21 win over the Rose Bowl against Oregon. Jeremiah Smith had a great game for the Buckeyes, finished with a couple of touchdowns, including one in the second quarter that I thought really put the game away.
See if they take a shot here. Howard looking to launch right down the middle. Smith is wide open. Too easy. And number four cannot be stopped so far.
Audio courtesy of ESPN, Daryl. Ohio State obviously has a lot of really talented players. They've racked up several top five recruiting classes if you're into stars mattering. I don't think that there's a better player on that team right now than freshman wide receiver Jeremiah Smith.
He might be the first overall pick in this year's draft if he was eligible. That's how good he is. Generational talent. Very rarely do you see a freshman dominate the way he does. It is.
I would argue never. Not very rarely. Like, I can't think of a freshman that has dominated the way that he has ever.
As a wide receiver or just
period? Ever. I mean, any position. I can't think of one.
Running backs, right?
Not to those this level, though. Like, because the other name that pops up is Maurice Claret, right? Like,
yeah, for we Ohio think State of fan.
When he played for Ohio State, the year they won the national championship and beat Miami, he was awesome. He wasn't this. He was not this.
I'm just waiting for Jeremiah Smith to do the Heisman pose after catching a touchdown or smoking some fool. He's going to win it.
I have to think he's going to be, if not the odds-on favorite to win it next year, he's going to be very high up on those preseason lists that we all get sent to our inbox probably in 3 weeks as soon as the season ends with the national championship game. Jeremiah Smith's going to be right at the top of that list, especially because he's going to be playing next year with a guy who's not an established quarterback, and we already know what Jeremiah Smith is. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm just grateful that Chip Kelly remembered that Jeremiah Smith was on the team and they threw the football to him.
Well, against Michigan, he did not remember Jeremiah Smith was on the team.
Hence why I said that. Thanks for rubbing that in.
Would Ohio State be where they are right now if they would have beaten Michigan?
I mean, it's hard for me to say something like that, but I know that you're a sum of your experiences. This team has had great wins this season. It's had some tough losses. We have learned from those. Ultimately, it comes down to our guys. I just keep going back to that because these guys are resilient. And, you know, we're at a place where you can hear a lot of noise, but they didn't do that. I'm very, very proud of our staff. I'm very, very proud of our players, but we're far from done.
I think that loss to Michigan woke something up in that team.
I don't know if it's supposed to get Ryan Day. Fired. I mean, it was the end of the world. It was the apocalypse.
I don't think if they would have beaten Michigan, say that Jack Sawyer interception turns into a field goal drive where Ohio State's field goal kicker makes a couple of kicks during the game that were pretty makeable kicks, I think they lose that game yesterday. I think that they don't beat Oregon, certainly not in the fashion that they beat Oregon without losing to Michigan.
It feels like they're refocused and they're now motivated.
It does. They feel like, and this is why I talked about this in the first segment. I didn't feel like, I always knew they were good enough, like had enough talent to win a national championship this season. I never had a doubt about that with this roster. But in watching them play throughout the season, they never looked like a national championship team until the Tennessee game at the earliest, certainly last night's game. The other game that happened last night, more entertaining than Ohio State, Oregon, was Texas and Arizona State because the Longhorns could not put away the Sun Devils.
Third and eight, Leavitt. That ball's intercepted! It is intercepted! Makuba seals it! Hook 'em Horns! They're headed home to Texas to play in the Cotton Bowl!
Ohio State will now play Texas in the national semifinal in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl on Friday, January 10th. Audio courtesy of ESPN there. And Daryl, what Texas did yesterday, they looked really impressive at the start, obviously, and then they failed to put Arizona State away in that game. I don't know how I feel about Texas's chances against Ohio State, but I do think if you're an Ohio State fan, after watching that, you have to be pretty excited. What stood out to you about the Longhorns and their win yesterday?
Well, I mean, it was lightning right out of the gate. Before you blinked, it was 14-0. And then you blink again, and the thing's headed to overtime.
Right.
And then it goes to the second overtime. So, what stood out to me, you know, the explosiveness that Texas possesses, but also at the same time taking the foot off the gas. Ohio State didn't take the foot off the gas against Oregon a little, you know.
I think they both did, but...
In some respects they did, but, like, I'm talking scoreboard-wise.
So, with the difference between Ohio State and Texas yesterday was Ohio State did allow Oregon a little bit back into that game.
In the third quarter, I got a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
34-15. They had a 3rd-and-8, and what happens is Ohio State's best player, Jeremiah Smith, steps up and makes a big catch on 3rd-and-8 to give a first down. And I think Ohio State went and scored on that drive, and that really finished the game off. Texas never had a play like that. This was a game. So I went to a golf simulator yesterday with one of my friends. We were watching. It was during the Texas-Arizona State game. So we were watching, and our time at the simulator ended at 3, so I was driving home during a good chunk of that third quarter. Wasn't listening to the game, obviously wasn't watching the game while I was driving, but then I get home, I had a couple of things I needed to work on in getting prepped for today's show, and I flip it on, and it's a tie game.
Yeah.
And should that kid for Texas have gotten thrown out for targeting? Should Texas's kicker have made one of the field goal attempts that he had? Probably to all of those things. It was an incredibly entertaining game, but I've got more confidence in Ohio State beating Texas after watching that game. I felt like whoever won the Rose Bowl was going to win the national championship because of how that game specifically played out.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's a lesson to teams when you get them down, keep them down.
Right.
Never let a team get off the mat. And I got nervous with Ohio State that they might let the Ducks off the mat in the third quarter. And like you said, leave it to the best player on the team to make the play. Everyone can exhale, and then, you know, the Buckeyes able to push away, whereas Texas, they just got caught up in it in the fourth quarter. You know, Arizona State was able to rally and force overtime. If anything, Texas should be breathing a sigh of relief because the way that game started
would have been an all-time choke job.
Yeah, I thought for sure that's how the Ohio State score is how I thought that game was going to end.
That's how it should have ended. That's how the scores should have been relatively identical. But Texas didn't. Texas struggled to put Arizona State away. Ohio State had no issue like that with Oregon. Over to Berea, where, Daryl, you spent a good chunk of your New Year's Day. The Browns take on the Ravens Saturday at 4:30, and we don't know who's going to start a quarterback. Not even the quarterbacks know.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to get mad, but I mean, I was in New England for 2 years, and Bill kept everything secret. So sometimes I wouldn't find out till like Thursday night, Friday, like, hey, just so you know, you're playing on Sunday. So I'm used to it. I just prepare like I usually prepare, whether I'm the 3 or the 1, and that's what he taught me whenever I was there, so I'm going to keep doing that.
That's Bailey Zappe, who could be, Daryl, I believe the 40th different quarterback to start a game since the Browns returned to action in 1999 on Saturday afternoon. Quite a stat there.
QB 40. Can't wait. I'm actually kind of on pins and needles to find out who that's going to be.
No, you're not.
No, QB 40.
Oh, QB 40. It's going to be Bailey Zappe. It's going to be Bailey Zappe on Saturday in Baltimore against the Ravens. Calling my shot now. I feel very strongly about that. Who is your favorite of the five? I can't say week 17 because obviously the NFL is added. But throughout the years, there have been some pretty remarkable quarterbacks to start the final game of the season for the Browns. Daryl, who is your favorite that you've covered? Because you've covered all of them.
Well, let's see here. Bruce Gradkowski comes to mind. That's an all-timer. Not nearly as good as Joe Thomas having to introduce himself to Josh Johnson in the fourth quarter.
That's a great story of a game. Feel like Austin Davis started one of these.
Yeah, Austin Davis. Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler actually started a bunch of games,
though. He started 8. Connor Shaw.
Connor Shaw's a great one.
And I'm totally cheating here. I opened up my Browns bleep sheet because there's so much to...
I thought the Browns bleep sheet was just inside your brain.
No, it's not. It's been so bad, I need a spreadsheet that's... 5 pages deep. One page is the coaching, GM, and ownership history. The next page is the quarterback history. The next page is the Pro Bowl selections of draft picks since 1999. The next page are the losing streaks, winning streaks, losing seasons, and winning seasons since 1999. And then... because I got tired of trying to count how many starting quarterbacks they've had since 99, it is just the list of starting quarterbacks since 99, and I'm anxiously waiting to fill in the 40th line on that spreadsheet. Come on, Bailey Zappi, or whoever they're going to dumpster dive to start week one next year.
Well, I would bet that number 40 is going to be this Saturday, number 41 is going to be week one next year.
In all seriousness, does it matter? It doesn't.
No, I don't think it does. I'm with you.
The Ravens are going to curb stomp the Browns on Saturday.
Well, and that's what everyone wants. Matter. That is what everyone wants in this game. The Ravens have something to play for. The Browns have something to play for, too. It's losing. It's draft pick. It's the future.
The first pick in the draft. Come on, Patriots. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You got another win in you. I believe in you.
We will see if they do. I have my doubts, but... what Ohio State did yesterday was good enough for yesterday, but is it good enough for you after a loss to Michigan? We'll discuss that next. That is Ohio State quarterback Will Howard, audio courtesy of Big Ten Network, who has never beaten Texas in his career. Of course, this is his first and only year with Ohio State. Before this, he was at Kansas State, part of what once upon a time was the Big 12. I guess it's still called the Big 12. Don't know how many teams are there. I know the good ones left for the SEC. But he never beat Texas when those two were conference rivals in a previous career, previous lifetime, I guess, for Will Howard. But Ohio State will be taking on Texas in the national semifinal game in the Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas on January 10th. And this is coming off of what was the most impressive performance any team has put forth this college football season. But the bigger question I have is, for how many of you is this enough for Ryan Day and Ohio State losing to Michigan? Does this erase it, or does more need to be done, Daryl?
Well, for me, he's got to win the whole thing. For me to have at least 320-some days of Michigan amnesia, I will be reminded of the lack of success against Michigan when the two teams meet next year in Ann Arbor. But winning a national championship certainly eases that pain. And the landscape in college football is changing. It's something that over the years I've kind of come to terms with. I am a little bit of an old school traditionalist, but I also recognize, you know, the world changes. And
it's changed very drastically in that sport.
Yeah, and if you're not willing to change with it, you're going to be left behind. And that's in life, that's in whatever profession you're in, that's just in general. So, you know, I've come to accept the new super conferences, if you will, because I really think that at some point college football is going to turn into the AFC versus NFC. It's going to be the Big Ten or whatever they're going to. I still can't believe it's called the Big Ten. There's what?
Silly.
How many teams
18.
Are in it? 18 teams now? And then the SEC. Those are the two conferences, right?
Yes.
And, college football basically is minor league football to me. The kids are getting paid. They should get paid, considering the revenue that's being generated by them for these universities. So it's still changing. It's still evolving. But the days of, and this is, again, I'm old school. Ohio State, Michigan will always matter to me as a Buckeye fan. But I also recognize, too, that the days of that game deciding a season are over.
I think what yesterday did, aside from all the stuff that actually happened on the field and, you know, proved Ohio State is the national championship favorite, all that, besides that stuff, what yesterday did for me was it took a lot of, it, it took a lot, it changed how much that Michigan game matters. Like, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say it's meaningless, because it's not. It's not a meaningless game. It's not just another game, and it will never be just another game. That game is always going to matter more to both sides. Both Ohio State and Michigan fans are always going to care about that game more than they care about any other regular season game.
You know what?
But it matters less than it ever has.
I think the reaction following that loss, too, is a result of folks not thinking the way that I think, in that not realizing, okay, it stinks. You lost to your rival again. Ryan Day can't beat them, but it didn't torpedo the season. And I think that people got caught up in just the old school meaning of that game, mm-hmm. right? Instead of realizing there is still a bigger picture here, they can still win the national. And I'm not saying everyone, because it was out there. It was like, hey, the Buckeyes can still win the national championship.
Right, but is that good for the rivalry? Because I don't think it is. I think the worst thing for the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry would be Ohio State winning the national championship in a year where they lost to Michigan. It almost happened once before.
Yeah.
And it very easily, maybe not very easily, but very well could happen this year.
But how about this? Michigan won the national championship last year.
But they beat Ohio State.
I get it. But how cool would it be that the Buckeyes win the national championship this year?
I think that if Ohio State's going to win the national championship, I think that this would probably be a year Michigan's okay with it. If you look at Michigan's season, too.
Yeah, because they can sit there and say, we beat the champs.
They went 8-5. They beat Ohio State. They beat Alabama. They beat USC. They beat Michigan State. They had the best possible 8-5 season that any Michigan fan can ever have. Now, of course, that's not a fan base I think that's satisfied with going 8-5 after winning a national championship. But if they're going to do it, they can still say, well, at least we beat Ohio State.
Yep.
But if Ohio State wins a national championship, I think that as time goes on, that's going to matter less and less. And that's something that I really don't like about the direction college football has gone in.
Yeah. It was a couple years ago where it was like Ohio State, Michigan play one week and then they'd play the next week in the Big Ten championship game. Like, that scenario was out there.
That could happen. They could conceivably play three times in a year, which I don't like.
Yeah. That's just kind of like where I'm at. I'm still salty. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I think it was Ari Wasserman that posted this on X after yesterday's game. And I thought he made an excellent point.
He's the best.
That the frustration with Ryan Day is, this is who this Ohio State team was supposed to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken until now to realize it. Right?
They have had national championship caliber talent all year long. They have not looked like a national championship team for the most part until yesterday.
It feels like an overpromise, underdeliver. Yes.
That's exactly what it's been. That is exactly what Ohio State has been this year. 100%. That's a great way to describe it.
So I like their odds against Texas. This is really the first time, because when the bracket came out, and I'll take a little barbecue sauce on my crow. I didn't believe in them after losing to Michigan.
Well,
did not believe in the Buckeyes. Love the Buckeyes. I as a fan, I'm sitting there and I'm like, they just lost to Michigan. There's no way they're going to win the national championship. This is it. They might win one. They might beat Tennessee, but then they're going to lose to Oregon again. And then that's just going to be that. This is the first time, Danny, after seeing that game last night, this is the first time where I'm like, they're going to win it all.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you. I did not feel that way during the season, despite how talented they are, but I feel that way after watching them play Oregon. The other game...
Here's one for you too, right? The non-equivalent of this would be the Browns winning a Super Bowl but losing four games to the Ravens and Steelers.
I think that's just so different, though, because
the
rivalries in pro sports don't matter nearly as much as the rivalries in collegiate sports.
And they're not as intense either.
Exactly.
And the reason why they're not as intense is because pro sports is more transient. Well, but I don't know if I can even say that, because...
Here's why. Because in pro sports, like... We have Browns-Ravens this Saturday, and...
That's not a rivalry.
But does anyone on the Browns care that they're playing the Ravens? Probably not. Because with collegiate sports, the players get to pick where they're going.
But
in
here's
pro
the thing,
sports,
too,
they don't.
I don't know, and this is really a bad way to say this, but I don't know any other way to say it. I don't think that because college football is becoming a mercenary sport as well, with the transfer portal and you guys bouncing around all the way that they are, I think that the rivalries that we have in college football are also going to be affected. Like, Michigan might not mean as much to Ohio State players.
Correct.
The thing that matters to them more is winning the national championship. Like, they're not invested 3 to 4 years in the Buckeye football program.
I think that has more to do with the expanded playoff than it does the transfer portal. Because with the transfer portal, the kids still get to pick where they play.
With the NFL,
you get drafted to a certain place. Like, Myles Garrett didn't say, I decide to go be a member of the Browns.
Well, I'll say this.
That's not how that works.
If Myles could jump in the transfer portal today, I'm pretty sure he'd do it.
You said it. You said it, not me. Maybe he would.
And I don't know that he'd be alone.
Is Saturday going to be his last game on the Browns?
I hope not.
I didn't ask you what you hoped. I asked you, is that going to be his last game on the Browns?
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
See, the issue there is that you have to go out on a limb to say that. Like, that's the problem with this.
But a year from now? Possibly. Yeah. Going into the final year of a con? Yeah. But I kind of feel like that there isn't much that this organization is going to be able to tell Miles to move him off of how he feels. Okay.
I don't think he needs to hear stuff. I think he needs to see stuff.
Well, and that's my point. He's been here since 2017. He didn't win a game as a rookie. He had a front row seat to the three ring circus this rebuild was to begin with, right? And now he has a front row seat to everything that's gone on. He knows what's gone. I'm still trying to figure out why a team with as much talent on paper as the Browns have, has 3 wins. I'm still trying to figure it out. This is not a locker room full of knuckleheads and bad guys and bad apples and bad seeds. It's a good locker room. It really is. I don't have anything negative to say about, like, the locker room.
Sure.
Okay?
Well, I know what the locker room is full of. Bad quarterbacks. That's why they're 3-13.
Yeah.
Because they have bad quarterbacks up and down the roster. They don't have a single starting caliber quarterback they don't have a single NFL caliber starting quarterback on the roster. That's why they're bad.
And the plan that I have come up with in my head to fix that quarterback problem, I don't know if Myles Garrett's willing to stick around and wait for it.